Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you joined me. And we're going to look at some things going on around us in the Brotherhood. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be moving our 2017 study of the Old Testament into the book of Numbers this morning. We're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 1 through chapter 10 and verse 11. And so we're going to be looking at the preparations of the children of Israel to leave Sinai today. Now, before we do that, though, we want to make you aware of some things going on around you this morning. And one of those is the Youngsport Church of Christ, that's in the Killeen, Texas area, is going to host a Ladies' Day this Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. They will also have a lunch. And the speaker is our sister Wendy Rutledge, the wife of Brother Richard, who you hear regularly here on Mornings for the Master. And she'll do a great job with that Ladies' Day at the Youngsport Church of Christ near Killeen, Texas. Also, don't forget, coming up March the 12th through the 19th at the Bryan College Station Church of Christ in College Station, Texas, is the Young Men's Development Conference. This is designed for young men ages 17 to 27 primarily, but they can make a little leeway in either direction, I think. And you can go to bcschurchofchrist.com, and there is an online registration there and more information. And so that is coming up March 12th through the 19th, a serious development study and conference for younger men. Also, mark your calendars for March the 26th through the 30th. That's March 26th through the 30th for the 51st annual lectureship at the Memphis School of Preaching. This will run Sunday through Thursday. You can go to msop.org for more information, or you can call 901-751-2242. And then a couple of more items a little further out, but we want to make you aware of them. We'll have more information coming later. But that is a pair of gospel meetings to be held April 2nd through the 5th. One will be at the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas, and their gospel preacher, Brother Jim Laws, will be the speaker. And this will be an outstanding series of meetings there in Tyler, Texas, April 2nd through the 5th. We'll have more information on that as we get closer. And also here, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, home of the Gospel Radio Network, will be hosting a gospel meeting also April 2nd through the 5th. And the speaker will be Brother Kerry Clark of Athens, Texas. And we'll have more information for you on that as we get closer to time also. Okay, that's all we have on the bulletin board, and we've got a lot of ground to cover this morning, so let's get right in to our study this morning, and that is as we're going to enter the book of Numbers, and we're going to be looking through chapter 1 through chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, this morning we'll be basically looking at highlighting some of the chapters, a little more time on some and a little less on others as we move through a lot of ground this morning, but let's consider chapter 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man from every tribe, each one the head of his father's house." Exactly 13 months after departing from Egypt, and exactly 1 month after the tabernacle was completed, the Lord God spoke to Moses and instructs him to take the first census of the children of Israel. Moses is instructed to number all of the men aged 20 and above who are now able to go to war. Moses and Aaron would be assisted in the census by the head of each of the tribes of the children of Israel. Notice that verse 3 pointed out that the census was being taken for the purpose of planning for going to war. It said, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. In verses 5 through 16, we notice especially the 16th verse. These were chosen from the congregation, leaders of their fathers' tribes, heads of the divisions in Israel. A list of the men was required per the instruction of verse 4. They were to help Moses conduct the census. These were chosen, again, from the congregation, leaders of their fathers' tribes, heads of the divisions of Israel. And then in verse 17, it says, then Moses and Aaron took these men who had been mentioned by name, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they recited their ancestry by families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and above, each one individually, as the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. The next section of verses, running through verse 46, lists the numbers of the individual tribes per the census count that was taken by Moses. But verse 47 shows us that the Levites were excluded from this count. Verse 47. But the Levites were not numbered among them by their father's tribe. And verse 48 and following. For the Lord had spoken to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the children of Israel. But you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings, and over all things that belong to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They shall attend to it and camp around the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle is to go forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. The outsider who comes near shall be put to death. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every one by his own camp, every one by his own standard, according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, that there be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. And now of importance, notice verse 54. Thus the children of Israel did, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they did. And so we come to the end of chapter 1, and with the reason the Levites were excluded from the count, and that was in order to attend to their priestly duties of the tabernacle. And now we come to chapter 2. And chapter 2 gives us the details for how the different tribes would encamp around each other and in protection of the tabernacle. Now the first 9 verses begins the listing of the way in which the various tribes would be encamped around the tabernacle. These verses list the tribes that would camp on the east side and the results of their census. These tribes would camp on the east side of the tabernacle, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Now, verses 10 through 17 gives us the listing then of the way in which the tribes would be on the south side of the tabernacle, and also the results of their census. So, to this point, we see that on the east side of the tabernacle, you would have Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and to the south of the tabernacle would be Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Verses 18 through 24 would be the numbering and the placing of the tribes that would be on the west side of the tabernacle. And those that would be on the west side would be Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. The verses 25 through 31 would list the tribes that would be encamped on the north side of the tabernacle and their census results. This would place the tribes to the north of the tabernacle as Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. The remaining verses give a summary or a composite picture of the census. Let's pick up in verse 32. These are the ones who were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces were 603,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus, the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they encamped by their standards, and so they broke camp, each one by his family, according to their fathers' houses. So there were 603,550 men of war, plus women, children, Levites, and men unable to fight for various reasons, such as being elderly or disabled or mentally incapable. And I want us to notice, just as we did in verse 1, I mean at the conclusion of chapter 1, that they did all that the Lord commanded. Notice at the conclusion of chapter 2, in verse 34, again see that the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. And so we are seeing an obedient time period right now. And we'll now move into chapter 3, and we notice and here consider the Levites. The concern here is the numbering of the Levites, and as mentioned previously, the Levites were not numbered with the other tribes. They were to be set aside as the keepers of the tabernacle. Let's pick up in verse 1 as we see the sons of Aaron. Now these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priest, whom he consecrated to minister as priest. Nadab and Abihu had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And we recall that from Leviticus chapter 10. And in the latter part of verse 4, so Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priest in the presence of Aaron, their father. So these are identified by name, Aaron and his sons. We have the stark reminder of the fact that Nadab and Abihu had been struck dead by the Lord earlier when they offered strange or profane fire before the Lord. Now the Levites would serve in the tabernacle, as we carry on in verse 5, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs, and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting, to do the work of the tabernacle. Also they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting, and to the needs of the children of Israel, to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. So Aaron and his sons were charged with the keeping and the maintaining of all things involving the tabernacle. And all of the Levitical tribe would be under the direction of Aaron. The next section of verses concern Aaron's charge for conducting the census and the completion of this task. Let's pick up in verse 11. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now behold, I myself have taken from the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. And so the Lord God sets apart the Levites for himself. Now, beginning in verse 14 and going through 39 is the numbering of the Levites. And various families were assigned various duties in the service of the tabernacle. They were assigned to take care of various items of the tabernacle by family. In verse 32, we see the important role of Eleazar. Verse 32, And Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, was to be chief over the leaders of the Levites, with oversight of those who kept charge of the sanctuary. God had chosen the Levites to be dedicated to him rather than the firstborn of every household. Beginning in verse 40, we see the Levites dedicated instead of the firstborn. Then the Lord said to Moses, Number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of all of the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel. So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded him. And all the firstborn males, according to the number of names from a month old and above, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of their livestock. The Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. You shall take them in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs. And you shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above those who were redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the children of Israel he took the money, 1,365 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave their redemption money to Aaron and his sons according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. The Levites would be able to purchase the redemption of the firstborn as a way of showing the dedication and their faithfulness to the Lord. And so, thus far we've seen that Moses is working under the direction of the Lord, and he is preparing the nation for a journey, and he is preparing an army. This census provided an organized way to accomplish things going forward. They would have a system of organization for their movements and their journeys. In contrast to that, we must think about the fact that there is an orderly way of life in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Just as the children of Israel had to have an efficient organizational structure, so also must the New Testament church. God has ordained that there be elders, deacons, preachers, and members within the local body. One is no greater than the other, but each having their own roles and responsibility in the local body. Many people today want a church that is free-flowing, do what makes you feel good, and with little structure. But we see that God has specific plans, and we must conform ourselves to His plan, not try to conform God to our plan. And now we move to chapter 4. It begins with the duties of the sons of Kohath. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting." So here we begin to see some of the specifics of the duties of the Levites here in the first part of chapter 4. Let's carry on now in verse 4. "This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy things. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Then they shall put on it a covering of badger skins, and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. On the table of the showbread they shall spread a blue cloth, and put on it the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers for pouring, and the showbread shall be upon it. They shall spread over them a scarlet cloth, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. They shall take a blue cloth, and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, its wick trimmers, its trays, and all its oil vessels which with they service it. Then they shall put it with all its utensils in a covering of badger skins, and put it on a carrying beam. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth, and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of service with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, covering them with a covering of badger skins, and put them on a carrying beam. Also they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all its implements with which they shall minister there, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, and all the utensils of the altar. And they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. So here we see the specific duties of the families involved in the dismantling of the tabernacle. And notice that the duties are very specific. And remembering Uzzah, we remember that God means what he says. My friends, God still means what he says today. Verse 15, And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. We see the duties assigned to moving the ark. But now notice, it said, but they shall not touch any holy thing. God means what he says. Uzzah reached to steady the ark and touched the holy thing, and he died. Verse 16, we see the duties of Eleazar. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all the tabernacle, of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Those duties of Eleazar. And we continue in verse 17, Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task. But they shall not go in to watch while the holy things are being covered, lest they die. So the sons of Kohath were given an exception to the rules for handling the ark. This was to more efficiently handle the movement of the ark of the covenant. The next sections of verses give us specific details for various other families. Verses 21 through 28 give us the details of the duties of the sons of Gershon. Verse 28 noted, This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting, and their duties shall be under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. Then we have the duties of the sons of Merari, beginning in verse 29 and through 33. And again, verse 33 notes that this is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, as all their service for the tabernacle of meeting under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. And then, beginning in verse 34, we have the census of the Levites. And Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for the work in the tabernacle of meeting. And those who were numbered by their families were 2,750. These were the ones who were numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Then, beginning in verse 38, the numbering of the sons of Gershon, by their families and by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting. Those who were numbered by their families, by their fathers' houses, were 2,630. These are the ones who were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, of all who might serve in the tabernacle of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord. Those are the families of the sons of Merari, who were numbered by their families, by their fathers' houses, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered by their families were 3,200. These are the ones who were numbered of all of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. All who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and by their fathers' houses from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, everyone who came to do the work of service and the work of bearing burdens in the tabernacle of meeting, those who were numbered were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, each according to his service and according to his task. Thus they were numbered by him, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So all of the tasks were accomplished as the Lord commanded Moses. And I think here in chapter 4 we can really see that the work of God does not fall upon one person, but here we see a dividing of that work. There is truly something for everyone to do in the church, just as it was in the days of the children of Israel. We may have differing roles, but they are all important. And again, we think of the great attention that was paid to the details, following the pattern. The curtains, the rods, hangings, and other various items of the tabernacle were prepared just exactly as God desired. For God means what he says. We move into chapter 5 and we see that it contains various laws regarding cleansing for different situations. It begins with ceremonially unclean persons being isolated. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and who becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell." And the children of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. Now, here mentioned, of course, was leprosy. And leprosy is not a very common thing today, and it's much more treatable. But in those ancient days, it was very prevalent, and it was not treatable. And it is truly a horrible disease to the afflicted who is untreated. Now, next we move towards rules concerning confession and restitution. Verse 5, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, when a man or woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. But if the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord for the priest, in addition to the ram of the atonement with which atonement is made for him. Every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring to the priest, shall be his, and every man's holy thing shall be his. Whatever any man gives the priest shall be his." And so, here the references to the confession of sins and restitutions that would be required. And now we in the next section, come to laws concerning marital and family issues. Verse 11. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, If any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, one-tenth of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil on it and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle, and put it into the water. Then the priest shall stand before the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, If no man is lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness, while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself, and some other man than your husband is lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse. He shall say to the woman, The Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. Then the woman shall say, Amen, so be it. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off into the bitter water. And he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse, and the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, shall wave the offering before the Lord and bring it to the altar, and the priest shall take a handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterward make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she hath defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell and her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man and he becomes jealous of his wife, then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all this law upon her. Then the man shall be free from iniquity, but that woman shall bear her guilt. And so, the Levites are given laws concerning adultery. From the reading, you can tell this was obviously a very serious issue to God, because when these laws come into play, God's plan has been deviated from. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 said, Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They are meant to be together for the duration of this life. Jesus gave law for the New Testament in Matthew 19, verses 1 through 9, concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee, and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. God will always protect the innocent party to adultery. But the consequences are severe for the adulterer. There is forgiveness when properly repented of, but the consequences are great, and many are always hurt by adultery. When we think of chapter 5, we think of the importance of purity. Though leprosy was a physical condition, we can see the parallel with the disease of sin. Sin is our impurity in the New Testament age, and we must keep ourselves clean from it. We see from verse 7 that sin requires confession and repentance in order to receive forgiveness. Then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. And now we move to chapter 6, and it begins with instructions concerning those who take a Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow was voluntarily taken, and it was to set themselves apart to the Lord. Notice verses 1 and 2, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord. This chapter contains laws that pertain to diet, hair, holiness, and appearing at the tabernacle for offerings. But at the end of this chapter, beginning in verse 22, notice the blessing from Aaron at the end of the chapter. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And so when we think about chapter 6, we see the Nazarite vow. It was a voluntary setting of oneself apart for the Lord. The Christian today voluntarily dies to self and sets themselves apart from the Lord. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Those who set themselves apart for God have always been disdained by the world. from the first century even to this day. There are those who are doing everything they can to get you to break your vows to God. Amos chapter 2, verse 12, we see an example. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. But compare the orderly system in the New Testament. God does not change. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. A few verses later in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Chapter 7 begins with the dedication service of the tabernacle. We see the offerings of the leaders. Now it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox, and they presented them before the tabernacle. And the leaders of the tribes were gathered together also with their offerings in the next few verses. And then the contents of the offerings of the Israelites were to be divided among the Levites by the heads of the families. And the remainder of the chapter instructs concerning the sacrifices that were to be offered in days 1 through 12. But from chapter 7, we notice the orderly system of government in all of the tabernacle activities. And we can see the simplicity of government that God has installed in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the head of the church and has preeminence in all things. Local congregations with elders and deacons and teachers or evangelists and members. It is so simple and yet so perfect. Chapter 8 discusses the purification of the Levites. Begins with the lighting of the lamps being done according to the pattern. Let's pick up in verse 3. And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. From its shaft to its flowers, it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. Also, if we move down to verse 11, notice that the Levites were to be offered to the Lord. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. According to verse 14, they were separated to the work that God gave them to do. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. We see beginning in verse 23 that there were age requirements for the temple work. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties. So as we think of chapter 8, again, we see the emphasis that God places upon the pattern. The Levites also were separated as a people. And so also today, the Christian is to be separated from the world to a priesthood. As we read in verse 14, it said, "Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine." Now see the contrast to 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Chapter 9 now brings us to things concerning the second Passover. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, 'Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time.'" And so, instructions would be given to that. Also, various laws here are discussed in chapter 9 concerning that. One is to do it at the appointed time, according to verse 2. Also, in here in chapter 9, we see instructions concerning the handling of dead bodies. And verse 13 deals with the man that does not properly observe the Passover and how to handle him. Notice verse 13. "But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time, that man shall bear his sins." Why would anyone today feel that God will overlook the one who fails to properly observe the Lord's Supper in the New Testament age, in light of these passages from the Old Testament? Especially consider 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 27. "Therefore, whoever eats of this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Laws for the alien among the Israelites concerning the Passover is given in verse 14. "And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover, and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and the native of the land." And then as we reach verse 15, we come to the awesome thoughts of God leading his people. "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was, when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. God would continue to lead the people by a cloud over the tabernacle by day and a pillar of fire by night. When we think of chapter 9, we realize the church is under a better covenant than the law. And we remember in the weekly memorial the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And we do not have to offer the blood of bulls and goats, but have the continual cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And as we reach chapter 10, the Lord tells Moses in the first two verses to make two trumpets to be used for calling the congregation to attention and to directing the movements of the camp. Instructions are given then in verses 3 through 8 on the signaling of the trumpets and how the camp was to move. We need to remember that we are talking about several million people, and precise order has to be maintained to avoid complete chaos. Verse 9 points out that the trumpets would also be used as a call to arms. Verse 9 said, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. And now notice verse 11, as they prepare to depart from Sinai. "Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony." 1 year and 20 days after leaving Egypt, the children of Israel were ready to move. And so as we come to our conclusion for today, and we've entered into the book of Numbers, we truly see at this point that the children of Israel were truly a nation, and now were a great army. And they were unstoppable as long as they would follow the pattern that the Lord God would give them. And so, let us think about, as we go through, God's demand for obedience and God's blessings being upon the obedience. And let's watch in these days to come and see God's blessings upon Israel when they are obedient, and the disasters that befall them when they turn aside from following the Lord their God. Our time is up. Thank you for being with us this morning. I do apologize for the hoarseness of my voice today. I hope that'll be better by next week if the Lord wills. Be sure and tune in tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Masters at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time here on the Gospel Radio Network.